Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm Paul Marks, your host, and today we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. So, you're in the multifamily industry. Are your properties safe and secure? What safety and security measures can you introduce at your properties to make your residents, staff, and the property itself safe and sound? With this in mind, our topic today is safety and security at multifamily properties. Joining me in the studio is Stephanie Graves, the 2018 Houston Apartment Association Honors Award winner for Owner Management Executive of the Year. She is also co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. And in the studio is Marilyn Rivero, who is a regional director at Q10 Property Advisors. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So we were kind of talking before we started the show about safety and security, and I know there's a lot of stories that people in the industry have about situations and situations that were dire, as well as how they rectified or improved it. But what was interesting to me when I read some articles for the show prep is that this is not an uncommon concern, and it's not only for the benefit of the security and the safety of the residents, but also the property, and it has a lot to do, I think, with the value of the property. If you can increase the security and make people feel more secure, then you've got a more valuable property. Stephanie, what have you found in that regard?
So it's interesting, the topic is security. And in our industry, one of the things we try to avoid talking about is security.
Right.
So it's not a term it's a term that we train on specifically trying to avoid, because there's just so many misconceptions and liabilities. When residents hear, they ask the question, is this property secure? And so training employees on that is, I think, very, very important, making sure that they understand that we provide an environment that's as safe as possible for our residents, but never guaranteeing security. The other thing that I think is real important that people need to think about and consider when they're owning or operating an asset is, J. Turner Research does lots of apartment industry surveys with residents, with employees. Right. And one of the top five reasons why people choose to move somewhere is the perceived security of that location. So it certainly isn't something that we can ignore. And I think as an owner and as a property manager, it's your responsibility to be conscious of the security and mitigate risk as much as possible. There's a gentleman I follow on LinkedIn that writes articles about risk assessment. He testifies in cases. One of the things that an article he wrote was, I'm sorry, landlord, you don't get your first murder for free. And it talks all about the things that we're going to talk about today, kind of mitigating that risk and avoiding the situation is not the way to go.
And I think that there's also, a feeling amongst some residents that, you have to have armed security on a property. And that does a lot, I think, for the image of the property when you have some type of security force or walking around. But in some cases, maybe that deterrent is necessary.
Sometimes some residents like to be involved, whether there's a crime watch or you do like a town hall meeting. And, there's always those residents that are always on property and they know everyone and by name and what they wear when they come in, when they come out. So to have that information and to use them in your favor versus against you is always good. So if they're involved and they're watching and they're helping, then that creates a community. That one person that is nosy will help.
It's worth more than an armed guard.
Right.
And we want to talk, because one of the things that some of the articles I read about this topic talked about creating a sense of community. I want to save that for one of the future segments that we're going to do today. But some of the situations that you've seen, Stephanie, on properties as far as things that were easily avoided possibly by someone taking proper steps or what you've heard of on other properties where maybe the lighting was out, never repaired, or a gate wasn't fixed. What are some of the things that you've seen or heard about on that?
So I think it's important for anybody that operates an asset to make sure that you're doing weekly and monthly checks. You know, we're not a list company, but we have a weekly and a monthly list that we go through that includes all of those security aspects. So you have to be, as a manager and as a leasing agent, it's your responsibility to walk that property on a regular basis. I mean, something as simple as leaving the gates propped, because you may have a convenience store down the street and people are going to walk outside the gate and they don't want to have to enter the code coming back, or they don't know the code. That is a potential hazard. If limited access gates are a huge component in what people think is perceived security. Mm-hmm. And they're not that at all. I mean, when was the last time you went through a security access gate and someone was behind you and you stopped and made the gate close so that they had to open up the gate?
Right.
Nobody does that, right? They'd be honking at you for like 10 minutes until you moved. So it's interesting that residents kind of require that and then don't let the systems work the way that they're supposed to.
Right.
And then want to hold the apartments kind of liable for that.
Yeah. I think also in acquiring a new asset, if you walk it on a Saturday night, it's a whole different beast. Like you do it during the day and it's great, it's clean, you know, it looks lighted, everything's great, but then you go in at night and you realize, okay, this is what I need to focus on. There's that dumpster that there's no lighting to, and so many things can happen back there. Oh, so
yeah. And lighting is one of those things that's I don't want to say a cheap fix, but it's cheaper to repair your lighting and light up a property than it is to have an incident because you had poor lighting.
Sure.
So there's lots of companies that can help you with that. You can do it in-house. But if you have limited resources, the number one thing that I would recommend is get some good lighting. And it can help you in the long term for value add as well.
Sure.
I mean, if you're installing LED lighting, you can show that that you saved money on the electric bill, which just adds to the value of the property. So lighting and making sure that the areas that people can hide out are limited. Dumpster enclosures are a big problem on some properties. You know, you don't want to be able to see the dumpster. So people build these dumpster enclosures that provide a perfect opportunity for culprits to go behind or in and carry out business that maybe would be inappropriate.
Right.
Laundry facilities, properties that have laundry facilities and that have doors that close, huge liability. On our properties, our laundry facilities either have huge openings or have doors that don't open and don't close, because we'll just take them out completely because I had an owner years ago that acquired an asset that the year before he acquired it, someone was assaulted inside of a laundry facility and they closed the door and there was no windows and nothing could be heard. And so, you know, he's certainly been a huge asset and a huge proponent for us to be conscious of those things.
You know, and when you're talking about properties that are what I would call mature properties that were built, you know, in past years, the landscape itself has had a chance to mature. And so when the plants are allowed to become overgrown, they also provide a hiding place for things. And we were talking before about the 3-7 rule, which is keep your plants to 3 foot or below, your shrubs to 3 foot or below, and keep your tree canopies pruned up 7 foot or above, so you have a clear line of sight. And I think that's important too.
Yeah, walking around that corner,
You
know, someone walking around a corner where there's a shrub that's above that frame can't see that there's someone waiting on the other side of that, and gives them no opportunity to get away if there's a problem. Parking garages too are a huge problem. Lighting in those parking garages you need to be conscious of.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just being in any parking garage is an intimidating situation, but imagine that at midnight when you come home from work.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was reading in one of those articles as well that when they're designing parking garages for multifamily properties, it's important to make sure the stairwells, they don't empty out. They empty out onto the street so that people who park in the garage who may not be affiliated with the community don't have the ability to get into the community just by walking through access doors. So I think that's important too. And there's a whole realm of safety items that have nothing to do with incident related as far as someone doing something nefarious, but have to do with personal safety like trip hazards and things like that. And I want to talk about that also in one of the upcoming segments that we're going to do. When we're talking about general safety on a property or trying to make it safe, what are the things when you're talking to a potential resident that you highlight about the property?
Mm. So I think that there's a lot of focus on background check. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, obviously you want to run it to perfection per right. se, but a lot of the times it's not who lives there, but who they come with
right.
or who comes to visit or right. what area is the property in. And those are the people that are coming into the property to, you know, be the menaces. Right. So, yes, screening and background and making sure that you have, you know, tight criteria in place mm-hmm. and all of that is great and obviously will help. But there's, it goes back to having that sense of community so that if there is people walking around, they report it mm-hmm. or they call the police. No one, as I've been in this industry for a long time, and no one wants to call the police. That's my first question. Did you call the police? No, I wanted to wait till the office opened. And it's like, let's report it because that way they know that we have issues at this property and the police will start coming around more often.
Okay. Great. Well, we are going to be back in just a couple of minutes after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing safety and security at multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Stephanie Graves, the 2018 Houston Apartment Association Honors Award winner for Owner Management Executive of the Year. She is also the co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and also joining us is Marilyn Rivero, who is Regional Director with Q10 Property Advisors. Before we jump back into our topic, I do want to remind our listeners that you can always go to our website to provide show topic ideas or guest ideas or listen to any archived episode. The Multifamily Matters website is multifamilyradio.com. So during the break, we were discussing some of the other things that we've seen as safety issues. And I know one of the things that was cited in one of the articles I read was making sure that the on-site staff is easily identified with name tags so that if someone gets a knock on the door, they can see whether or not that person is affiliated with the property if they say they're there to repair a toilet or change a light bulb or something. What other things like that, Stephanie, do you try and put in place?
Yeah, I think, I mean, ID cards are super important for property personnel and for maintenance personnel. We use ID badges that have pictures on them. They're not ridiculously expensive and worth it. And there's all kinds of different areas. But another thing that people can think about when they're operating is to have contractor tags. So they come to the office and they check in before they go. Maybe you have an outside vendor doing painting and they have to pick up a contractor badge. You know, we do not screen every single person that comes through as a vendor. You know, we hire a reputable vending company to come in and do, let's say, a make ready, which would be getting an apartment ready for a resident. And that painter we may not know that painter, and we certainly didn't screen him. So making sure that they're at least identified, and using reputable vendors that you know who the people are that are entering your property, because they truly have a lot of leeway when they come on your property, and they can just say, I'm a vendor. At least if they check in at the office, you get an ID, make sure that you know who they are and who's on your property. And that's, you know, a good manager on your property, making sure that all these things are done, is going to make or break a property. If Right. you have a manager that doesn't leave her desk or his desk, opportunity for safety issues on your property.
Right.
And I think, Marilyn, keys too, we were talking about earlier.
Right. And one of the main things to keep your focus on is keys, making sure that there's not a list of the whole
key log.
Mm-hmm. Keep it safe to where not anyone can just go in there and grab keys. Make sure that when you are giving the contractor keys, you're giving them the one to the vacant apartment and not to an occupied, or, you know, those little things that make a big difference. I had that happen in a property once, and the resident was just appalled, you know, and she was right. Like, someone was coming into her apartment and she's in there sleeping.
Oh.
And the contractor was given keys to her apartment. Wow. So those little things do happen that you say, oh, no, it doesn't. But mm-hmm. sometimes it just does.
Yeah. And we have, you know, key control on a property is a huge liability. And so we've walked properties before where we walk in and the keys are literally labeled 1 through 10 and they match the apartment numbers. Well, that's not, doesn't leave much to create. You have to be very creative to figure out what key those go to, right. what apartment those go to. So having a good key control system where you have a coding system mm-hmm. that's separate and away from the key box is very important in maintaining safety. Making sure you have a key system that you don't just give out keys to people that come in. Keeping updated lease records mm-hmm. so that if someone's been removed from the lease, mm-hmm. it's in the system and in the paper file. That way some, you know, ex-husband, ex-wife, you know, brother, ex-boyfriend, whatever, that was necessarily on the lease, then isn't on the lease and has been removed, having them come in and say, hey, I need a key to my apartment, could be a huge liability for them. So making sure those files are updated and that you have some sort of key control system is important.
And I don't know what the secret to this is, but the keys themselves, I know that I've been to a lot of properties and I'll need to go look at a vacant unit. And so I'll go to the office and they will give me a couple of keys to go look at a couple of vacants. And I would say probably, you know, 2 out of 10, as I do that, the keys don't even work.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, just knowing that you have a key that's the correct key, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you had an emergency, you had to get into something, and you couldn't do it because you didn't have the right key, that seems like there's some potential risk or liability
right.
there, too.
Yeah. And also making sure to educate maintenance that they cannot give keys to anyone, no matter if they know that they live there, whether it's the kids or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the sister, the mom that comes by every day, just to make sure that everyone is educated and knowing what we hold in that key box.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think many times the on-site teams take it for granted. Mm-hmm. That the keys are there and they just loosey-goosey, you know, give them out and don't realize the, you know, amount of responsibility that is, that's there's people in there sleeping or showering or, you know, making sure that you have a good system is imperative to help as much as you can with the safety of your residents.
You know, Marilyn, you had mentioned something in our previous segment right before we took the break about the fact that you can't police you know, you can do background checks on the people who are applying for the lease, but who they bring on the property, you have no control over and you have no way of monitoring that.
Right.
What's in both of your experience, what have you found that maybe as a warning to other people that you could give them advice or tell them something that occurred in the past on a property that you knew about?
I think that when you're going through the lease in the beginning, you just say, you know, if you're going to have anyone staying over 3 days in your apartment, you must notify the office, because once we go in there, we're going to see it, mm-hmm. you know. So just make sure you let us know. And I think if you talk to the resident and you're upfront and you say, you know, this is for you as much as it is for us, mm-hmm. then they're like, you know, she's right. Let me just go ahead and notify the office. It's not mm-hmm. that big of a deal for me to call and say, just like I can call in and, you know, my toilet's not working. Hey, you know, I'm going to have my friend here for the next couple of days. And I think it works, just communication mm-hmm. and letting them know that they can come to the office and talk to you and be heard.
And I think setting expectations with your residents from the very beginning is imperative. So, you know, you're going through that lease. And again, sometimes we're loosey-goosey and we're like, initial here, sign here, initial here, sign here. Mm-hmm. And now with e-signatures, it's even worse because we just send it to them and assume that they're going to read it. But taking the time and saying, hey, I need 20 minutes to sit down and go over this lease with you, and letting them understand the degree of responsibility, mm-hmm. not only with their visitors, but also with the people that they see on property. If you see heavy traffic coming in to the apartment next to you or down the street, you know, you may be afraid to tell me. You may be put a note in the Dropbox. Hey,
send a text
message. You know what I mean? Just let us know that something's going on, because, you know, as much as we would like to be there all the time, we're not the police. We're not at the property all the time. And so usually if you can create a good demeanor and a good rapport with your residents, that is going to help you make as secure a property as possible.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if there's another term than this, but have you had experience or heard of anything with what I call squatting, mm-hmm. on a property? And to give you an example of what I'm talking about, 6 weeks ago or so, I was going to look at a property. We're going to look at a couple of vacant units. The leasing agent was taking me around, and she walks up to a door, and the windows, the blinds on the windows were up a little bit, and she looks and sees a bunch of stuff in there, and she backs off and says, we can't go in there. Somebody's living in there, and it was supposed to be a vacant unit. Mm-hmm. So she got her maintenance staff, and I'm not sure what happened after that, but is that something that you find on, and how does that happen?
Well, it never happens on our properties.
Of course.
But hypothetically speaking, if I was at someone else's property, you know, the larger the property, the larger the community that you live on, the more risk you're going to have. Is what it is. When you're on 17 acres of land and you've got 420 apartments, it's tough to make sure that you're checking all of your vacants. But as a company, you should have some sort of procedure in place that you're walking your vacant apartments. You know, every 2 to 3 days for risk. One, you want to make sure there's no squatters living there. And the other is from a maintenance standpoint. If there's a leak that is 1 day old, it's going to cause far less damage than a leak that's 2 months old.
Right.
So what started off as an AC leak from the pan turns into a ceiling falling out of an apartment. So having that procedure in place where you're walking your vacants, you know, those operators that are running properties that are going through renovation, huge liability, because mm-hmm. you've got vacant apartments. The vendors are in half of them. Mm-hmm. The maintenance guys are in the other half. Who's in this apartment? Making sure that they're locked at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we've seen that multiple times where I thought he was going to do it. He thought I was going to do it. The maintenance, you know, so having someone on your team that's going to be in charge of that closing procedure, mm-hmm. and making sure that the models are locked, the vacants are locked, depending on the size of your renovation, it may be impossible to walk every single vacant apartment at the end of the day to make sure they're locked. So all of those, I think, are key areas.
Or assign per building, you know, mm-hmm. such and such is going to do this building and that building, and securing the windows, things, those little things mm-hmm. that we take for granted is what makes a difference when you're walking into the apartment and someone runs out and you're like, mm-hmm. what?
Or doesn't.
Yeah.
It's happened to me before where I was at a property, I was helping out leasing. And I did not open the apartment. Now, you know, typically if I'm going to show an apartment, I open it and I close it because I want to know who was in it. And I tell all of my leasing agents, your housekeeper, your maintenance guy is not the one that's going to be embarrassed mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. frightened or scared when you walk into an apartment in the middle of the day that's been, you know, someone's been in. So I walked in, someone had been in there, and I have a tour coming in behind me. And so, you know, jumping in the middle of the floor because there was some paraphernalia in the middle of the floor and covering up what I believe to be a marijuana cigarette, although I'm not certain of that, making sure that's, you know, covered up and dealing with that are all possibles when you're dealing with vacant apartments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just one side note on that, talking about looking at all the vacants and the issues you have with vacants in renovations. As a result of Hurricane Harvey, I went to a property that the whole first floor was, you know, being redone, and none of the doors were locked, and we walked into several of the properties and water was leaking and things, you know, leaking from the faucets and so mm-hmm. forth. So yeah, that is a big liability and a big cost to them. So, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. Today we are discussing safety and security at multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks, your host. And joining me in the studio is Stephanie Graves, the 2018 Houston Apartment Association Honors Award winner for Owner Management Executive of the Year. And she's also the co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. And joining us is Marilyn Rivero, who is also the regional director with Q10 Property Advisors. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So in our first two segments, we talked a lot about safety that and the security from things that others could do to us. Let's talk a little bit in this segment about safety in regards to things like trip hazards, slip hazards, and so forth. What are some of the things, Stephanie, that that you see on properties that you always have to try and make your staffs aware of and make sure that you're mitigating any risk?
Sure. I mean, looking at an asset, sometimes if you're a property manager at the same property for 10 years, your eyes glaze over. When you're walking property, you know, that tree's been moving that sidewalk for 10 years and it didn't seem like that trip hazard was that big a week ago. And you don't even notice it anymore because you're seeing it all the time. So having another person come in and walk a property, maybe a sister property, maybe someone, another leasing agent coming in and walking a property to kind of see and assess that situation. Looking for trip hazards is important. We can't always afford to have somebody come in and grind them. So what we've seen is when they mark them with colored tape or spray paint. And I think one of the things that we miss in that is, you know, our insurance carrier comes in and does a risk assessment for us when we take over properties. And one of the things that they've given us some advice about is when you see a trip hazard, it's not enough to highlight it with an orange spray paint. It has to be two contrasting colors that designate there's a change in elevation. So you'd need, you know, a white strip on the top and an orange strip on the bottom. And I think people just go with their spray paint and think, okay, I've marked it, I'm moving on.
Right.
But it's still a trip hazard.
Right.
And so obviously the best thing to do would be to grind that down. Having issues on staircases, you know, there's a metal binding, if you will, at the top of a staircase that kind of holds it all together. And then you're going to have thresholds on each individual step. You know, those tend to wear over time. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that you're conscious of that and that you're fixing those trip hazards as soon as you can.
That the railing isn't loose.
The railings are not loose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you walk property, you're not always going up and down the railings, but it's important that you do that once a month and find out, you know, that there's kids that play up there and they don't know not to lean on the edge.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All those are important.
That third stair is not loose.
Yes. So, yeah, causing someone to go down. Making sure that the boiler rooms and the any sort of area that would the mechanical rooms, the maintenance shops are locked because, you know, summer is a perfect time for curious kids to start walking by and opening up doors. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you need is someone inside of your maintenance shop, a kid in there getting into something. Pool areas where they have chemicals, important to make sure that those are maintained and that those chemicals are marked. Making sure you have OSHA books so that if there is an accident, that you have somewhere to go to. Sewer backups. We hate to talk about that, but those pose a liability and a security risk. Right. And there's fines from the city if they happen too frequently. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you have some sort of checklist for freezes, for hurricanes, for natural disasters. How do you prepare? How do you make sure that your people are talking to each other and that they have a way to maintain communication if electricity were to go off on property, mm-hmm. or if there were to be a flood? And then in the middle of the summer, HVAC issues pose a security problem for some people. Electricity going out, power outages, all are things that we need to think about. Property management is not for sissies.
Right? True.
There's a lot of potential problems that we can face. And I think unless it happens, we try to train our employees as much as possible, but it's hard to train an employee on what to do if they get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning because an HVAC is out.
Right. So, when you think about some of the things that your maintenance staff gets called in to do, some of the service calls you get, obviously, if it's a drip, that's one thing, a dripping sink. But if you're getting recalls on the same apartment for electrical issues, mm-hmm. that could be a significant risk or a significant liability because it could create a fire. So do you have do you recommend some type of a hierarchy of rating which ones you go to first so that you make sure those are taken care of?
Yeah, I think the big thing is making sure that your team is aware of what's being called in. We hear all the time, we get calls at the corporate office about, I've called this in 15 times. And then we look it up in the system and it's the second call they've made in six months, right? So is your team logging it? And then being aware that, if I'm getting a call on electrical two or three times, that may be a problem.
Yeah.
Some managers, bless their hearts, and some of ours are them as well. I'm not including them, but they don't, because they have a maintenance person, they rely on their expertise and they don't get out and take a look at it and they're not curious. Mm-hmm. Being curious about what's causing something to happen is imperative to be a good property manager. If you're getting calls that something's happening, it could just be that the reset button on a GFI isn't operational, but you're calling out your maintenance guy, he's fixing it, and there's no education to the manager there. So, it's a problem with the GFI. How many times have we had it? And maintenance team gets in their rut, and they're doing what they do on a regular basis. And so they don't even think about it again because they think the manager's taking care of it. So having clear communication and really pulling some information on service requests to see what the pattern is at your property on a monthly basis is imperative to make sure you catch things before they get out of hand.
Right.
And that can also be tied into just educating your resident. Like at move-in, show them where the GFI switch is and say, if you ever have problems with lighting or one of your, if anything's not working on this side of the kitchen, just reset it. Show them where the breaker box is. Show them just the little thing, where the fire extinguisher is. Those, mm-hmm. those little things make that difference and will probably avoid one or two of maintenance requests.
Yeah. And, I'm glad you mentioned fire extinguishers because this is kind of a soapbox, if you will, for us. I'm always talking about, 90% of the fires in apartments are caused by stoves mm-hmm. and caused by stovetop fires. And so to prevent that would be instrumental. Water suppressant systems, those are important, but for C, B, and C product, they're not economical. There's no way they could ever retrofit right. those apartments. So having those fire stops, they're called auto stops, AUTO, auto out, and you put them fire stop, and you put them underneath the vent hood. And if there's a flame, it ignites like a fire extinguisher and puts out the fire on top of the stove. That to me is, they're instrumental. They are absolutely necessary. When we take over a property, we put it in the opening budget that we will retrofit all of these apartments with them because it has saved, it's prevented us from having fires. And so, if it prevents one.
So when obviously the resident knows that it did its job.
Absolutely.
And they contact you and you have to go back and refill it, reset it, or?
Yeah. So they have a 5-year lifespan. So you have to go in every 5 years. But once they're ignited, they have a little wick and it'll ignite it. Then, you know, it drops the chemicals on it and we go in and reset it. There's going to be some damage. You know, it's probably going to burn the pan and burn the top of the stove. But what it could have done is so much, much greater. And we've walked into apartments before when a person's moved out and we've seen that probably there was a fire and one of them was projected or whatever, was just came undone, did what it was supposed to do. And the resident never said anything, cleaned it up and had the other side of the stove fully working and didn't tell us for, you know, 6 months of the rest of the lease because they were afraid of the cost it would be.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's, you know, black soot on the side of the wall that was prevented. So there's that. And then there's another device called a fire avert, which goes in the back of the stove and that turns off the stove once the smoke detector is activated.
So obviously if someone is going to be a resident in one of your properties, they cannot make bananas flambe on the stove.
No. If they do, they have to come into the office and make it for everyone.
Well, you know, it's amazing because, you know, when you turn on the—I'm an early riser, and I turn on the news, you know, in the morning before I leave my house. And, you know, almost weekly, there was an apartment fire at this address and, you know, and so forth. And I always knew that it had to do with most of the time. What other causes for that have you found? That is it electrical issues or?
No, I mean, 9 times out of 10, it's user error, if you will, right? It's the resident doing something not so bright. You know, smoking on the couch and you drop a cigarette on the floor and it, you know, starts a fire. The big one has been stoves. We've seen a lot of stoves. Leaving candles. Leaving candles unattended. Mm-hmm. Not as much. I mean, if we could just get a handle on the grease fire situation on the stoves.
Right.
We've walked apartments doing preventative maintenance before and walked into an apartment where nobody is. This recently happened in College Station. Walked into an apartment and they left the stove on. They were cooking something and there's nobody in the apartment. So maybe they just ran down to get the mail. But still, I think educating residents and making them understand that there's a responsibility when you live in a, you know, that close a surrounding to other people. I mean, the fire in San Marcos, the fire's here. I mean, the whole building, we've had 2 fires on our properties and both of them were caused by residents having faulty wiring in one of their devices. So it was washer dryer connections. They had, both of them had a cut inside of the dryer connection and that sparked a fire. And so, it's difficult.
Yeah.
There's a degree of liability there, but it's also, you know, we're worried about the lives that we could be losing.
Well, we are going to be back in this final segment after this, where we're talking about safety and security at multifamily properties. I want to remind our listeners, again, you can go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com and listen to any archived episode, this and others. And we're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property bill insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back with Armley Matters, and we are talking today about safety and security at multifamily properties. Joining me is Stephanie Graves, 2018 Houston Apartment Association Honors Award winner for Owner Management Executive of the Year, and she's also co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors. And also joining us is Marilyn Rivera, who is Regional Director with Q10 Property Advisors. So safety and so forth, we talk about what do we do to not invite incidents and or crime on a property, and maintaining the property. So if there's any kind of an issue with graffiti, you get rid of it immediately. Talk about those types of things.
I was at a property where every Monday morning we would walk in and there would be two or three buildings with graffiti. And they were like, well, they're just going to do it again, you know? And it's like, no, take the time, make sure you can't see it. So lively. Mm-hmm. Another thing is also one of our favorites is towing. So making sure that you don't have any abandoned cars in your apartment and in the parking lot, making sure that you walk it and tag it and, you know, just not inviting that kind of activity inside the property makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Is there procedures that you have regarding before you tow a vehicle, you have to put a sticker on it or something like that?
If it's an abandoned vehicle where either the tags are, I mean, I know we're not the police and we don't enforce it, but we want to make sure that if there's a car there, we know about it, you know, whether it's a second car and they really can't, you know, deal with it right now or they're not using it, then that's different. But if the tires are
missing on blocks or,
right. or anything like that, then there's a 24-hour tag you can put on there or, you know, a couple hours if you know whose car it is. And you say, you know, you have a couple hours and get it out of the parking lot because obviously it's not working. So why would it take up a space that someone else can be using?
Mm-hmm. Getting a good relationship with your towing company is imperative so that, you know, they're not abusing the system, but you also know that it's quick turnaround and you let your residents know it's quick turnaround. You know, people that don't have tags is one thing, but if you have an inoperable car that's inviting problems, you know, again, the summer, the kids don't have much to do. And so they're walking around and they see a car and they'll start breaking windows. And right. So all of those things invite mischief.
You have two or three broken down cars in the parking lot. People start thinking, oh, no one knows. Mm-hmm. I can just come attention. Park here. Mm-hmm. I can just, you know, leave my car here a couple of days. And those are the messages that they're getting when they see that.
And I would think that if you've got a property that's got graffiti and abandoned cars in the parking lot, that has to affect your marketing efforts as well.
Yes.
Negatively,
yes,
I would think.
Yes, yes, yes.
What are some of the other things, Stephanie, that you try on a property to make sure that it's secure?
So, you know, we talked earlier about monthly and weekly checklists. I think, you know, if I can give three or four tips, having a checklist and going through it, walking the property on a regular basis, getting out on property is the number one. Two is making sure that your lighting is operable and that anything you have works. Many people use money on a property to be a reason why they can't maintain safety or they can't get things updated. But there's things that you can do that are free. Making sure your stuff is, your shrubberies, you know, cut to the right heights and those sort of things that you talked about. The other thing is, you know, heaven forbid that an incident does happen on your property and that you are exposed in terms of a armed robbery or anything. You know, most of the things that will happen will be an armed robbery, a vandalism, or a break-in in apartments. And so if one of those does happen, making sure that you report it as soon as possible, that you have adequate way for them to contact you and you report it. Don't be afraid not to report it. We want residents to report it so that it can be logged and get the attention that it needs. And then having some sort of letter or notification system to the residents to make sure that they know that there's been this so that they can have a heightened awareness is important. There's been, you know, some cases where people were not notified that there was an incident on a property and then another incident occurred and that there was heavy damages and heavy liability onto the management and ownership for not disclosing that that happened on a property. I've seen owners before that have a don't ask, don't tell mentality and they just cover their ears and hope nothing bad happens.
Right.
And that is not at all the way to ensure, you know, there is just by owning a property, you have a degree of liability to make sure that what you have is maintained. I think we've all driven by properties in cities where we've thought, oh my gosh, how in the world can the city allow that property to be? You know, if that's your neighboring property, if it's there, you know, calling some attention to it, I think we owe it to all of us. There's a difference between affordable housing and deplorable housing.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And so, I think that also when notifying the residents, there's this kind of belief that you're doing it to scare the residents, but it's more to inform, to make sure, be aware. Yes, make sure that you're aware this is happening. And you can be somewhat detailed, but not too much, because then that's when the fear factor comes in, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can say just the right amount of words and say what happened, but not really go into specifics. So
yeah, and it would be worth, you know, if no one has a template for that, it would be worth contacting your attorney and just saying, do you have? I mean, we got one from our attorney, and he wrote us kind of a template and said, this is the general outline that you should maintain. And part of that is referring back to their responsibility as a resident and their responsibility in the lease. You know, we talked earlier about having undesirables at a property. What happens if you find out that one of your residents may be involved in something that is causing problems on the property? And one of the things that is important in that is always, 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 that lease is our protection and their protection. And so if there's any way that you can need to confront a resident or talk about something, make sure certainly from a fair housing standpoint, but you know, when you start saying, well, this is what we believe is happening, or people have reported, and you're not referring to a section of the lease that they're getting, there's going to be, one, hurt feelings, right? Because you're blaming me and you're trying to regulate me. And two is, you don't have any reason why you need to talk to them if they're not violating part of their lease. So it should never be, oh, we've seen A, B, and C. It should be pursuant to section 42.9 of your lease contract, this activity is not allowed. Mm-hmm. When you rely on that lease contract and you refer back to that, that should be your legal way of dealing with any security issues or any undesirables.
The lease can definitely be a weapon in your favor when trying to address a resident, because they are always they're always right, we're always wrong. But when they see that initial on the bottom of that page where, you know, this is what we talked about, then
gives you an out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gives you an out in terms of, it makes it easier for an inexperienced manager or an inexperienced on-site person to deal with an issue. So whenever we hear, hey, what do I do about da-da-da? We say, look at the lease. Mm-hmm. There's got to be somewhere. I mean, thank the Lord for Texas Apartment Association and NAA, because they revise that lease, you know, periodically based on regulations. And if you're not using the Blue Moon lease, then you're not doing yourself justice, because it covers us in so many ways while providing a responsibility from an owner to a resident. So on both sides, it gives protection that's necessary. So I would absolutely refer back to that lease, make sure that you're maintaining that fair housing, and training with your on-site team.
Because it's much easier to say, you know what, I know, you know, I realize what you're doing is not that big of a deal, and I probably do it on my spare time too, but I'm doing my job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I have to enforce it.
We've got about 2.5 minutes before we get to we'll start winding down the show. I wanted to cover three things.
Oh, okay.
sense of community, we've touched on that. Mm-hmm. And you had us about something on one of your properties. I'd like you to relate that. The second thing is, and I hate to bring this up, but sexual predators. Mm-hmm. That's something that you and I have discussed in the past.
Yep.
And the third thing is the resources that are available, for instance, through the HAA and the Houston Police Department. See if we can touch on those very quickly.
Okay. So community meetings. We had taken over a property that had excessive crime, and there was holdups in the parking lot. And so, you know, while armed guards and HPD and Pasadena Police and Pearland Police are not always an economical way for you to solve the problem, our theory has always been, if you come on strong from the beginning and utilize those resources quickly, you can set a good precedent that there's a new sheriff in town. So we usually come on board pretty quickly with that, and then follow up with the community outreach and town hall meetings. And so, you know, bringing that responsibility back to the residents and not being afraid to have a sort of town hall meeting is important, because they live there on a day-to-day basis. And if they're all ducking in their houses while someone's getting shot in the parking lot, that's not going to be good for anybody, because if one of them gets shot, two of them will get shot, right? So we got to solve that problem. So making them feel connected and opening up that door for community involvement, I think, is imperative.
Right.
Sexual predators, we obviously, you should be screening on all your properties, but even if you're screening at move-in, one of the things to consider is that if someone has lived there for 5 years, they probably haven't been screened in 5 years, and who knows what they did. Mm-hmm. And so sure that you're doing things on a regular basis. Every month we close out our books and we have a checklist that includes looking at the sexual registry online and looking up your address to make sure that nobody has claimed that address for your property. And if that happens and we have someone, we immediately give that apartment a 24-hour notice to vacate. Mm-hmm. There's no ends, ifs, or buts. We cite the lease, we cite the policy, and we're done with it.
The resources from the Houston Apartment Association, the Houston Police.
Yeah. So there's a Blue Star program that you can do if you're in the city of Houston. It's great. It belongs to the property and you have to hit some gories. It's the only thing to do when you're in Houston to make sure that you can contribute to that. It also gets buy-in from the police department. The Houston Apartment Association is, if you are an operator in the city of Houston and you are not participating in HAA's resources and you're not dabbling into that, it's the largest apartment association in the nation. Mm-hmm. We have so many resources in our backyard. Just the website and the Facebook alone give you enough resources to be able to do what you need. And I absolutely necessary.
I think they have like lunches with judges and then some with like breakfast with cops and things. It gives you an opportunity to meet people that you wouldn't meet on a regular basis. Like I could go to the court all day and never hear that bit of information that I got from that meeting or that luncheon. So definitely.
And a ton of the resources are free.
Sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have really covered this topic very well. I do want to give both of you a chance to just tell our listeners how to get in touch with you, a little bit about your background in the industry. You're obviously, Stephanie, you're very well known in the industry, but let everybody know a little bit about how you got started and how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Stephanie Graves. I'm a co-founder of Q10 Property Advisors. We're a consulting and third-party management company. I got in the industry over 20 years ago. Mm. I was just a little baby and had just really, you know, take advantage of the opportunities I have. And I sit on the Houston Apartment Association board and try to do what we can to make sure that the operators in the Houston area are doing the right thing and that the people are trained the way they can be. And we're doing that on a Texas level as well. So
the IRAP class?
Oh, yes. The Independent Renters course. I teach that twice a year. Mm-hmm. We're going to have it again in November. So very exciting. Gives you all that need to know about apartments.
Okay. Marilyn? Mm-hmm.
I started about 15 years ago. My first job ever out of college was Homeowners Association. And I said, I will never do this again. I do not want to hear people complaining. And then my friend was like, do you want to try a leasing job? I'm like, sure. And here I am.
All right. Well, thank both of you for coming in today. I think we, as I said, we did a great job of covering that topic. And there's a lot more that could be covered, but we only have an hour.
Yeah.
We will be back every Friday with at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 KTEK with another episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.